Many make this CAPM mistake. They buy the books, but not the guidance. They invest in a certification, but ignore the journey. Are you overlooking the most powerful CAPM prep tool, a mentor or coach who can personalize your path? What if a structure accountability is the only thing standing between you and confidently scheduling and sitting to pass your CAP exam? Okay, you mind if I tell you a quick story about my first rendezvous with the CAPM? I was ready to conquer the world, well, or at least get certified. I bought the latest CAPM prep book at the time, you know, the one that probably weighed about 5 pounds. I was determined. I read it from cover to cover. I did all the quizzes, highlighted everything. I was basically sort of like a walking and talking project management guru. That's kind of what I felt at the time. I felt good, but something happened. I hit a question. Maybe it was something on risk or procurement that just twisted my brain into a knot. I stared at it, reread it again, and still nothing. I had no one to ask, no one to bounce ideas off. Don't judge me, but my brilliant strategy was, I hope that specific confusing concept will not show up on the real exam. I know you're judging me saying, a project manager relying on hope? I just can't believe it. Well, guess what? Not only did it show up, it brought his friends and his family. Therefore, right then and there, I realized one of the biggest mistakes you can make and that you can make and just getting the answer wrong is trying to figure it out all entirely on your own, which leads me perfectly into our first point and probably the most critical CAPM mistake. Point number one, navigating CAPM certification alone, underestimating the value of expert guidance and accountability. Again, point number one, navigating CAPM certification alone, underestimating the value of expert guidance and accountability. Listen, family, while self-study is definitely possible, it's just some things that it lacks. It lacks structure, personalized feedback, and motivational push that external accountability provides. This can lead to prolonged study times, gaps in understanding, and a higher chance of getting discouraged or even mostly sidetracked. Many know they should seek help, but try to power through it alone, often being less effective. Listen, I'm gonna be very transparent with you. I've done that. I've done the self-study thing, as I shared with you about the CAPM, bought the book and said, I'm going to just power through it because I was listening to what other people were saying at the time. Well, all you need to do is get this particular popular book or get this particular course and you should be good. But what they didn't tell me is, yes, those tools are very effective. Yes, they work, but it wasn't about the tool. It was about the accountability. It was about having someone that if I got stuck on a question, can I talk back to that trainer or that accountability coach? And most of the time I couldn't. So I say all that to say the reason why it's important, the absence of guided support can turn a challenging but achievable goal into an overwhelming endeavor. I see this time and time again when I talk with people and they say, yeah, I'm going after my CAPM or I'm going after my PMP. And I say, okay, who's your trainer? Well, you know, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I thought you were going after it. So I say all that to say that it's important, family, that you get a trainer as well as, I believe, an accountability coach. Now, I offer that as a opportunity for you. So if you're going after the CAPM, the PMP, or any PMI certification, I offer accountability coach. We make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. And then from the CAPM, that course, as you guys know, I told you it's coming real soon, just still needing to build that out. So I say all that to say that you have to understand the importance of having support in going through this transition. So experiment with these actionable tips. Research options for mentorship, coaching, or structure accountability program specifically designed for CAPM preparation. Look for programs that offer more than just content delivery. Focus on progress tracking and motivational support. And the next one I would like for you to experiment with, Consider the opportunity cost. What is the opportunity cost? The extended study or potential exam retake versus the investment in a program that can streamline your path to certification and provide a supportive framework. Point number two, ignoring the exam outline updates. Boy, oh boy, candidates sometimes begin their studies using existing materials or courses without actively checking for or incorporating the latest update into that is from the CAPM exam content outline provided by PMI. You'll normally see it as letters ECO, exam content outline. And that basically is just for each certification, PMI has a exam content outline. So you go on PMI.org, you pull that up. And the reason why this is important, because the exam content outline is literally the blueprint for the CAPM exam. It details the domains, the tasks, knowledge, and skills that will be accessed during the exam. PMI periodically updates this outline to reflect current project management practices. So studying with an outdated exam content outline means you could be focusing on irrelevant topics or missing entirely new areas, significantly jeopardizing your exam performance. Experiment with these actionable tips. Always download the latest CAPM exam content outline directly from the official PMI website before you begin any type of studying. If you're already studying, here's the next actionable tip I like you to experiment with. If you're already studying, cross-reference your study materials with the latest exam content outline to make sure there's no gaps between the two. The exam content outline, like I said, is what every trainer or coach should be basing their content off of. Now, there's also a piece that most trainers, like my trainer, Phil, he also provides real world aspects as well. So you have a real world or pragmatic approach, but his material always is aligned with the exam content outline. And the last one, ensure any training provider or course explicitly states they are aligned with the current exam content outline. Point number three, memorizing instead of understanding. A frequent but flawed tactic is to focus on memorization. You know what it is, the project management terms. You know, try to memorize the formula or any particular ITTOs, input, tools and techniques and outputs for each process without really grasping the underlying logic or context between the relationship of all of them. This is important to understand concepts thoroughly, enables you to apply knowledge flexible, critical for the success in a scenario-based exam question in real-world application. Now, when I say scenario-based, I'm not talking about the scenario-based based off of the PMP. CAPM is less scenario-based. There may be some sprinkle in it, but it's really more knowledge-based, I would say, versus anything. If you're doing the PMP, that's a different story, but it is mostly knowledge bases, we'll say. So experiment with these actionable tips. Try to explain concepts in your own words to someone else or write summaries. If you can't teach it, you may not fully understand it. Next point, for each concept or process, ask why. Why is this input necessary? Why is this tool effective here? Point number four, avoiding practice exams. I've seen this time and time again where some candidates, delay taking practice exam until the very end of their studies, or worse, avoid them altogether, perhaps due to fear of seeing a low score or a misconception that simply reading material is sufficient. And what I mean by that, family, is that it's important that you take these practice exams. And if you don't, because of the fear of, oh, I'm going to get a low score, or maybe I don't understand this as the material as well as I thought I did, that's great. Because this is not the real thing. I repeat, this is not the real thing. So you have an opportunity to course correct and figure out where your gaps are. So when you sit down to pass the real thing, the real exam, you'll have a better understanding. So again, this is important because practice exams are critical tools for assessing your knowledge, identifying weak areas, getting familiar with the exam format and question style, and most of all, practicing time management. Avoiding them means missing invaluable opportunities for feedback and targeted improvement, leading to potential surprises and, most of important, underperformance on the actual exam day. Experiment with these actionable tips. Integrate practice questions and full-length practice exam throughout your study period, not at just at the end. Next one, take practice exams under conditions that simulate the actual test time without distractions, without notes. And reason why that is important, family, is because when you simulate what you're about to experience from the real exam, this helps you with time management. This helps you with understanding, not feeling like you just have this anxiety or this rush to like, oh, I just need to get through the question. You've already practiced this, so you should be prepared. All right, the last and final one, thoroughly review every question afterwards, both correct and incorrect answers, to understand the underlying reason and pinpoint knowledge gaps. Point number five, study only from one source, or I should say, relying exclusively on one source. So I went back and forth with this because I've seen success by just having one source, and then I've also seen success having multiple sources. So relying exclusively on just a single textbook or online course or one set of notes for cap and preparation can limit your exposure to different explanations, examples, and perspectives on the material. Now, I want to park here and give you a caveat. There are some exceptional trainers out here that train CAP, PMP, etc., and you may not need any additional resources. The reason why I recommend this is, if anything, getting a source of maybe a test bank of questions so you can kind of see how the questions are being worded, and because you don't know what you're going to see on the real exam. And because of that, having multiple viewpoints of different questions. So this is what I recommend of saying this can be a mistake, because if you're only studying from one source, you have more of a bias approach, meaning bias as far as saying, if you saw a question on the CAPM, you could look for keywords because you've seen them in multiple different test banks, and that'll give you an advantage. So here, this is important because different authors and instructors explain concepts in unique ways. What might be confusing in one source could be clarified by another. A single source might also have unintentional bias, errors, or most of all, may not cover all the nuances of the exam content outline comprehensively. This can lead to an incomplete or a skewed understanding. Experiment with these actionable tips. Explore different formats such as video tutorials, podcasts, articles to reinforce your learning. Note, I want to have a special note for here. No more than three, family. I don't want you to go past three, because if you start getting more than three, then you have all of these different materials and sources, and more than likely, you probably won't even go through them all. So I always say three, maybe even just two. And this is why I said, if you have a trainer, maybe you'll go and get another bank of questions. Or if you decided to go, which I wouldn't recommend, but if you decided to go the route of, hey, I'm just going to buy the course, the content, let's say you went on Udemy, bought a course for CAPM, and then you're just like, well, I'm going to study that and I'm going to go that route. Great. Okay. Still get you. Maybe you might want to get an accountability coach or a additional trainer, or again, a test bank. So those are some examples of why I see people have a lot of challenges with the CAPM, because they're only using one source. So next one, while having a primary study guide is good, supplement it with other reputable resources like the PMBOK, the Agile Practice Guide, basically any PMI authorized training material or regard for CAPM prep book. I also say that even if it's not PMI authorized, you still can use it, as long as, this is the key, I'm giving you this, as they say, the secret sauce, as long as it matches up with the content outline. If it the content matches up with the content outline, this is when you want to go ahead and dig into it. Point number six, not factoring exams cost early. Candidates sometimes, boy, oh boy, focus only on the intellectual challenge of the CAPM. They overlook delaying considering the financial investment required. Now, this is not including the exam itself, but it's also cost for study materials, training courses, potential if you're going to get the PMI membership, which I recommend you do. This is important because the total cost of the CAPM certification can be significant. Failing to budget for these expenses early can lead to financial stress, potentially delaying your exam date or forcing compromises on quality study resources. Again, quality study resources. Unexpected costs can disrupt your preparation momentum. Experiment with these actionable tips. Research all potential costs up front. PMI membership, which often family discounts your exam fee. So this is why the PMI membership is worth it. Look at the cost for, you know, for training courses, textbooks, and any type of exam software, meaning around questions. Next one, create a realistic budget for your certification journey and plan how you would cover these expenses. And the last and final one, consider the cost of potential retake in your contingency plan. Your primary goal should be to pass on the first attempt. And the reason why I talk about that is because I had to take the CAPM exam twice, which I was frustrated that I even had to do it again because I was like, yeah, I got this book, which should be just all I need. And no, I needed more. I needed an accountability coach. I needed a trainer. I needed someone that when I got stuck that I can bounce this information off of. Point number seven, disregarding the exam environment setup. For candidates taking the CAPM exam, I'm going to speak for online. So online, PMI has their platform is OnView, O-N, I think it's O-N-V-U-E. And what it is basically, you go on online and you have to be compliant with the exam environment. The exam environment, some of the rules are clear desk, no interruptions, stable internet for the actual online exam. And all of this has to be validated before you actually get to take your exam. If not, then you're going to have to reschedule and potentially that may forfeit your exam fees. So if you decide to take it online, make sure you understand the compliance that are associated with taking it online. Now, if you take it at the test center, you also want to make sure that you are prepared as well because it is a different environment. Meaning that you have to take everything out of your pocket. You have to make sure that, you know, they wind you down to make sure you don't have anything because they want to keep the integrity of the test, which I appreciate. And then you're in there with other people taking other tests. Although it's quiet, it's still something that you want to practice at your home. So experiment with these actionable tips. Thoroughly read all pre-exam instructions from PMI to Pearson. So Pearson is the on-site location where you would go regarding requirements, especially your ID verification, room setup, and prohibited items. Next one, perform any required system checks well in advance of your exam date. And the last and final one, prepare your testing space for meticulous. If you're taking it online, ensure it's quiet, ensure it's private, ensure that it's free of any prohibited materials. Inform household members to avoid any type of interruption. Point number eight, neglecting the PMI code of ethics. Candidates often concentrate heavily on the technical knowledge areas, you know, processes, formulas, you know, the detailed PMBOK, the study, all of that, while giving inefficient time and attention to the PMI code of ethics and professional conduct. Now, this is important, family, because a thorough understanding and a commitment to ethical principles are fundamental to being a PMI certified professional. The CAPM exam can and often does include situations where that it asks you about ethical judgment. How would you handle this? So understanding that professional responsibility, you want to make sure you come prepared for. So experiment with these actual tips, download, read it, and ensure you understand the PMI code of ethics and professional conduct from the PMI website. Reflect how the core values, which are responsibility, respect, fairness, and honesty, apply in various project scenarios. You mind if I over-deliver? I just have one bonus for you. Procrastination on application submission. Okay, my name is Edward. I go by the name ED. I've done this time and time again. So I'm only sharing with not what I've heard or I've seen. I've actually experienced this. What are you talking about, ED? Well, some candidates complete their required 23 contact hours for the project management education, and generally they feel ready, but they delay submitting their official CAPM application to PMI. Now, the CAPM application process itself requires a comfort input of information. It can sometimes be subject to audit by PMI, which adds times. So delaying submission can create unnecessary pressure if you have a target exam window, as you cannot schedule your exam until your application is approved. Furthermore, eligibility for the exam is valid for 1 year from the date of their application approval. So not only have I seen, even including myself, have submitted my application sometime and got approval, or I took my 23 contact hours, especially for the CAPM, and then I didn't submit my application because I was like, well, you know, so procrastination set in. So experiment with these actionable tips. Familiarize yourself with the CAPM application requirements on the PMI website as soon as you decide to pursue the certification. Next one, submit your application as soon as you have met the eligibility required, even if you plan to study a few more weeks or even months before taking the exam. Well, family, I appreciate if you stayed this far. This is some valuable information. This is some of the things that I'm sharing with you that I wish that I had for me. So, family, we've covered some critical CAPM certification mistakes today, especially that big one, trying to navigate this journey completely alone. We've seen how easy it is to buy the book, hit a wall, and just hope for the best. But we've also seen how that hope isn't a strategy. These mistakes, from delaying your application to underestimating the power of guidance, aren't just hypotheticals. They're real hurdles that trip people up every single day. Therefore, my final thought isn't just a thank you for listening. It's a call to action. Don't let these common pitfalls become your story. Recognize the value of a clear path of accountability. Your CAPM certification is more than just a piece of paper. It's a launch pad for your career. Learn from these mistakes. Invest in your success. Take action today to ensure your CAPM journey is efficient, effective, and ultimately successful. As I always say, family, you got this. I go by the name of ED for all you smart and intelligent folks out there. That just simply means Ed. If you need any coaching, any accountability, I have a link. Check it out. If we're a match, let's see how we can work together. Let's see how I can help you avoid these mistakes that I talked about today.